Good morning.
Well, thank you for coming today. Thank you, those of you leading, having a part in leading our service. And before we turn to the Word of God, let's briefly talk to the God of the Word. Father, thank you so much that we can meet with you like this freely still in our country without fear of being arrested or punished for doing it. But Lord, we're mindful of Christians in many other parts of the world right now who have that fear. And we pray for them, Father. Pray for them in their persecution and for those in prison, as you've told us to not forget them, that you might use them to bring glory to Jesus. Father, as we turn to your word, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we might see and hear what you have for us today, that we might live for you in these significant times, that our lives might be a blessing to others who are searching for a Savior. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, let me start with a little mini quiz here. Okay, what is the name of the book that comes after the four Gospels? You have Matthew, you have Mark, you have Luke, you have John, and then you have, what is it? Acts. That's right. Don't be afraid to be right. Acts what? In some Bibles, you'll see a little longer title for this book. Do you remember what it says? The Acts of the Apostles. That's right, the Acts of the Apostles. Now, what does that mean? It means that it is the record of the actions or deeds of the apostles, the men that Jesus chose and sent out into the world to build his church. Well, Jude, Jesus' half-brother, records for us the Acts of the Apostates. Do you remember what an apostate is? We've been talking about this for several weeks in our study of the book of Jude. And we've been learning that an apostate is a pretender, a religious pretender. They are in the church. They've willfully abandoned the faith. They have no personal commitment to Jesus Christ. They pretend to believe the Bible, but they deny its inspiration. They don't believe its authority over them. They pervert its teachings. They pretend to serve God, but really they're serving themselves. These are apostates, the religious pretenders. Now, last time we studied Jude together, we saw that there were three examples he gives us of apostates in the Old Testament. We learned that these people ignored God and were punished. Remember the Israelites who refused to believe God? And then Jude told us about the angels who sinned and then the immoral people of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you missed it, you can go online to our church website and listen to the shipwrecked faith message from last week. I encourage you to do that if you missed it. But the lesson that we learned was this. If you cling to Jesus, your faith is safe. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Hold fast to him and your faith is safe. Now today we're going to look at Jude's description of apostates in the church. And I encourage you to begin turning there if you would. It's just before the book Revelation in the back of your New Testament. Jude takes the time to describe these evil pretenders so that we can recognize these false teachers for what they really are. God doesn't want you and me to be duped and so to shipwreck our faith like some people have down through church history. And what Jude tells us is shocking. These people in the church are physically immoral. They're intellectually arrogant and spiritually they're blasphemers. And those are the same three characteristics we saw last time illustrated in verses 5 to 7. Sodom and Gomorrah, you remember, were grossly immoral. The sinning angels rejected God's authority. And Israel blasphemed or spoke evil against God in the desert and complained against him. The word blasphemed is interesting. It means to treat God or sacred things with disrespect. So let's look at the book of Jude. We're going to read again verses 1 through 10 this time. I'm going to be using the New International Version. And I don't know what version you have, but I invite you to follow along in your Bible as well as we'll have it on the screen. Jude, verse 1. Jude writes, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men, whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. And then verse 8, he says, in the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. So here Jude gives us a lesson on how to spot an apostate and how not to act like one, how to spot one but not act like them. What's interesting is that the nature of apostasy has not changed in 4,000 years. Apostates act the same way today as they did in the Old Testament and as they did in the New Testament times. Isn't that interesting? The devil hasn't come up with any new tricks because he finds the old ones still work. The amazing thing is that apostates refuse to be warned. They continue in their evil ways, even though they know what the Bible says and how God condemned apostasy in the past. Apostates never learn. They ignore the warnings in God's word and then are surprised when judgment comes. Kind of reminds me of the man who went around the gate and lights at a railroad crossing. The good news is he survived the crash. But when the police asked why he drove around the gates and passed the lights, he said, well, I didn't see any train coming. Folks, stop and think about that. Gates and lights at railroad crossings are only put up at the most dangerous crossings. But he didn't see any train coming, you know. Jude gives us three marks of an apostate, three warning signs that ought to set off alarms in our minds when we see these signs in others. And as we study them, I want you to ask yourself, do I know people like this? Is it possible I have tendencies in this direction? Does my life point to Jesus, or does it point to myself? In other words, there are some people that are like, look at me, what a good Christian I am. That's not where our life is supposed to point, is it? Today, the lesson is this. If you don't get anything else, get this. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus, and you can avoid God's judgment. What does the Bible say? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Live for Jesus and you can avoid his judgment. The first mark of an apostate that Jude tells us about is that an apostate, as the King James says, they defile the flesh. In other words, they're physically immoral. They defile the flesh. The NIV says in the very same way these dreamers pollute their own bodies. So where the King James says, defile the flesh, new translations say, pollute. And he says, likewise, in the same way. Now that's referring back to the sins that he just talked about of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like those people, these men pollute their bodies with immorality. They don't learn from others' mistakes, and they repeat the errors of the wicked. Jude describes this defilement for them. Why are they like this? Because he says they are dreamers. They are dreamers. The Greek word behind this word means a confused state or abnormal imagination. It has the sense of arbitrary fancies of a deluded mind that is insensitive to reality and truth around them. They're living in their own dream world of made-up truth, which in reality is false. They're self-deluded. This is what causes their rebellion. They refuse the truth of God's word as truth. The course this rebellion takes is, first of all, physical. As a result of their rebellion, they pollute their bodies. They get into all kinds of heresies that says, well, you know, the physical body isn't affected. It's only the spiritual side that's important. And, you know, you can do whatever you want, live however you want, and still be saved. Apostates are a law unto themselves. They reject God's plain teaching about sin. Or they just see themselves as being above the law. Doesn't apply to them, especially in the area of sexual sins. The words that Jude uses here imply sexual immorality and especially includes homosexuality. Today you might hear them say something like, well, it's my body, I'll do what I like. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Be careful if you say that. It shows a mindset that is ungodly and headed toward a shipwrecked faith. What does the Bible say to Christians? It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. What's the price? The blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. He died for our sins. Therefore, he says, honor God with your what? With your body. Only the Holy Spirit can enable you to control the sinful passions of your old nature, the flesh. And if you look down at verse 19 a little further, we'll get there later in this study, but he points out that apostates do not have the Spirit. The Apostle Peter confirms this in his description of apostates. Remember, we talked about how 2 Peter is very close in some regards. It's looking forward to a coming apostasy where Jude is describing it as a present event. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, he paints a more detailed portrait of these false teachers. One thing that stands out is the immoral character of their lives. Listen to some of the things he says in 2 Peter 2. He says, many will follow their shameful ways. Those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature, with eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. By appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people. Folks, this was written 2,000 years ago. Seems like he's talking about America today, doesn't it? What about apostates today? Have they changed much? You know, those of us that are older remember the year 1987 will probably stand out in church history because of the number of public Christian figures who were exposed as pretenders in the church. I won't go through the names. Some of you may remember some of them, but it was a very sad era for the church. One of the marks of those who fell is that they defiled the flesh. They ignored the plain teaching of God's word. His teaching about sin and immorality, and they thought they were above it. Many more go unnoticed. Like one I read about a while back, there was a preacher who came to the radio station so drunk he couldn't speak. The announcer had to read a sermon for him, but whenever the preacher came in sober enough to give his own sermon, he'd make this big appeal for money, and checks and cash would just pour in to keep him on the air. It's interesting how false teachers today seem to gravitate to TV and radio, and now the internet. Are American Christians so easily duped? Apparently so. I guess it seems like an easy way to make money without much scrutiny of your life. But no matter how careful they are, the consequences of sin usually surface, at least to those who know them well. What does the Bible say? We learn this. It's one of the first verses I remember learning as a kid. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. I wonder why they teach that to children. It's a good reminder, isn't it? What about you? What about me? Are we quick to condemn those who claim to be Christian leaders but live in sin? Well, there might be sin in our life too. You say, oh, I don't have sin in my life. What about your attitude? Sin is as much an attitude as it is our actions that grow out of that attitude. An attitude that says, you know, the Bible's fine for everybody else, but it doesn't really apply to me. Friend, if that's you, you need to repent. The attitude of sin is like, nobody's telling me what to do, especially God. That leads to sinful behavior. So the first mark on apostate is that they defile, they pollute the flesh. In other words, they ignore and disobey God's principles of modesty, morality, and sexual purity. The second mark is that an apostate, the King James says, despises dominion. Despises dominion. In other words, they're intellectually arrogant. The newer versions say these dreamers reject authority. They despise dominion. Apostates show contempt for, they reject anyone having authority over them. Jude describes their insubordination. The original language, the Greek, says that they despise lordship. Reject authority, including the lordship and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word can refer to several kinds of authority, including the government, national leaders, and church leaders as well. You know, the early church had a three-word statement of faith. You want to keep it simple. That's about as simple as you can get. You know what it was? Three-word statement of faith. Here it is. Jesus is what?
Lord.
That's not just a title. That means he's sovereign. That means he's in charge. That means we listen to him. Why did they choose that in the early church? Because it's the declaration of the sovereign deity and saving work of Jesus on the cross. When someone says, Jesus is my Lord, they're declaring their dependence and their obedience to him alone. I think Jesus' question for independent American Christians would be this one. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As Lord and head of his church, Jesus has a right to tell us what to do. But apostates have a spirit of rebellion. They despise and reject Jesus' authority, whether it comes to them through Scripture or through the leaders or fellow Christians of Jesus' church. Is there insubordination and apostasy in the church today, folks? I think Americans need to pay close attention to Jude's words. As a nation that was founded on the rejection of England and the king's sovereign authority over us, we've always had a problem with authority as Americans, haven't we? You want proof? Do you remember this flag? Picture of a rattlesnake on it. Don't tread on me. You know what? You and nobody else telling us what to do here in America, right? That's the founding of America. Maybe that's why we have such a problem with authority. And if you want further proof, just ask police officers. Do Americans have a problem with authority? Ask principals and vice principals at the high school. Do we have a problem with authority? What's the solution? The Bible says, submit to who? To God. Submit to God. Obey him. Friends, if you will live for Jesus and obey him, you can avoid judgment and a loss of reward when you stand before him. It's that simple. Live for Jesus. You know, we all wrestle with accepting authority once in a while. But apostates, while resisting all kinds of authority, mainly rebel against Christ and against his under-shepherds in the church. False teachers reject the lordship of Christ over their life and pursue their own evil desires. While using the Bible to gain control over others, they reject its authority over them. And they water down or twist its teachings to suit their own preconceived ideas. There was one teacher at the seminary I attended who illustrates this attitude. And when his attitude got him into trouble, he was forced to resign. He immediately moved his membership from his home church to another church so that he wouldn't suffer church discipline for what he had done. And sadly, the other church welcomed him with open arms, even though what he had done almost destroyed the seminary. Well, not only do apostates defile their bodies, pollute them, not only do they despise dominion and reject authority, there's a third characteristic Jude warns us to look out for. The third mark of an apostate is that they speak evil of dignities, the King James says. Newer versions say these dreamers slander celestial beings. Look with me at Jude's description of the apostate's speech. Jude says, in the very same way, these dreamers slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, didn't dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. Literally, Jude says the apostates speak evil of or blaspheme glories. The NIV says celestial beings. The word glories, translated dignities in the King James, probably refers to heavenly spiritual beings or dignities. Just like Israel slandered God and scoffed at his miracles in Numbers 14, so these men speak evil about and slander beings over which they have no authority. Now, it's interesting, the example of Michael, the archangel, and Satan. Now, this is not recorded anywhere in the Bible. It is recorded in an apocryphal book called The Assumption of Moses. You familiar with the Apocrypha? Those are books that appear in the Catholic version of the Bible. We don't have them in our Bible, but they were rejected as being scripture. However, the fact that Jude includes this here and quotes it confirms that this part of that account is true. Now, why was Archangel Michael disputing with Satan over the body of Moses? Well, we're not sure. But we do know the tendency of the human nature to worship leaders and elevate them. And they came from Egypt, where they practically worship and did worship the Pharaoh. And then they embalmed them and made these amazing tombs for them. And so maybe that's why they were arguing over what to do with his body. But here's the point. Even the Archangel Michael, who's high in God's order and authority, higher than you and me and men and women, even the Archangel Michael was careful in addressing Satan, a spiritual being, dignity or glory, and he deferred to God's power and authority. And if Michael, the Archangel, would not speak evil of Satan, how much more should men not speak evil of government authorities, church leaders, and especially of God himself? In fact, you may remember that in Titus, the little epistle of Titus, the Apostle Paul urges Christians to speak evil of no man. But these men, in verse 10, this is interesting, their arrogance is amazing. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. Apostates have no respect or understanding of spiritual things. Yet they blaspheme and speak evil of anything they feel like, making themselves the authority. This verse tells us that they are ignorant people who don't know what they're talking about. He says they are like brute beasts, unreasoning animals in the NIV. They are like a bull in the arena, and its rage at the bullfighter, it lowers its head and charges and impales itself on the sword of the bullfighter. And when a person lives as he or she pleases, they forget God's laws have penalties attached to them. Friends, we cannot disobey God and escape the consequences. Apostates today speak in much the same way. You know, it seems like you can't turn on the TV and look at a Christian TV program without hearing some preacher, put that in quotes, talk about how you can bind Satan and his demons, how you can give this and do that, and God was going to bless you because you're one of the king's kids. And you know, that preaches well in America, but any gospel doesn't preach in the slums of India as well isn't really the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's prosperity gospel, it's health and wealth, it's just amazing. They sound authoritative, but they take scripture out of context, and they dupe many Christians into following them. Not only on TV, but in many churches, Christians act like these apostates. As Christians, we need to examine what we hear in light of the Bible, not based on what we would like to hear or believe. Well, today, just very quickly, we've seen a summary of the sinful conduct and characteristics of apostates in the church. What did Jude tell us? They defile the flesh. They pollute their own bodies. They despise dominion. They reject authority. And they speak evil of dignities. They slander celestial beings. Folks, no Christian who has the Bible and the warning of Jude should ever be sucked into the control of a modern-day apostate. But it has happened over and over again. It's happened in the town I live in. It probably happens here. What Jude warns us about here is not just people who sin, but of those who have a particular mindset or attitude that ignores God and knowingly disobeys his word without fear. He warns us of following leaders whose lifestyle marks them as perverters and blasphemers. Folks, the real threat to the church today is not persecution from without, but corruption from within. How can we recognize this danger? Corruption from within involves a desertion of sound doctrine. When we reinterpret or reject apostolic teaching recorded for us clearly in the Bible, and especially when we deny the central teaching of Scripture about the person and work of Christ, we wander away from the truth and we put our generation in jeopardy. Corruption from within also leads to a retreat from a holy life. When we begin to respond to life situations as instinct tells us, motivated by our old nature, the one we had before we knew Jesus, our whole perspective becomes warped. The Bible says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A commitment to both sound doctrine and a godly life is essential, not just for church leaders, folks, but for all followers of Jesus Christ. So let me ask the question we asked last week. What should we do? What should we do? Well, you need to know the marks of an apostate so you can recognize them. The Christians who followed Jim Jones, David Koresh, you remember that, the Branch Davidians? The Christians who followed them to their deaths didn't know the marks or didn't bother to check out their teacher. And that leads to the next thing you should do. We need to be responsible Christians and test the teaching and preaching we hear against what? The pattern of God's truth recorded in Scripture. But how often in our homes does the Bible lose out to the babble of the TV and sports commentators? Remember that apostates don't walk around with a big sign on their back saying, I'm an apostate. They don't do that. Contending for the faith implies effort on our part. We have to know the word. And then you need to personally live for Jesus. Remember, if you live for Jesus, you will avoid God's judgment. And if you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ personally, he's not your Lord, he's not your Savior, then remember what the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. You can trust him today. Put your faith in him. Confess him as your Lord. And today you can become a child of God. Christian friend, search your heart today. Examine your commitment to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is he Lord of your life? Does your life point to him as others watch you? I hope so, because it can if you will live for Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, next week, I want to invite you back. We're going to be talking about beware, Jude says, of false religion and what that looks like. I hope you come back. Your homework again is to read through the letter to Jude a few times. You know, it's amazing. The more you read, the more you see. All right, would you join me in a closing prayer? Heavenly Father, please give us today discernment. Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Speak to our hearts. Help us to live for Jesus. Help our lives point others to him. Help us to be on your guard, to stand on your word alone. May we, like Jesus, be full of grace and truth and gently lead others to our Savior, Jesus the Christ. In his name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.